This is Dodging Death with Stephen Williams Jr. and Ryan Patton.
Oh, your thing now, it looks like you've got it, even your backdrop, your gothic backdrop.
Yes.
It even looks more so ominous now because you've got like sort of like a seance flame.
A seance like we're gonna contact flame? The dead. No, yeah. That's your exposed Edison bulb.
Oh, it is an Edison bulb.
Yeah,
oh,
perhaps through the zoom. I've used some camera depth of field, so it's blurry, you see.
Yeah, I can just pick up the light within, you see.
Nothing inside me, there's fuck all in like... there.
have we haven't addressed the your new backdrop though, have we?
Well, I think we tried to in the abandoned episode because of our internet problems.
Oh, are we going to reference the abandoned episode?
Well, you know, we'll also have to mention why Paul isn't here. I mean, really, Ryan, this is...
Paul sat no longer with us. That's why we're trying to contact the dead.
I mean, with it being just you and I, this is kind of like our now long-gone radio show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which it should be said, we left voluntarily.
We were not sacked.
But it does concern me, though, that it's just us two like the radio show, but when the conversation starts to wean a bit, we can't go to Steve Winwood.
And every single episode, you wanted to go to Steve Winwood. Little known fact about Steve Winwood.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's little known. But where would you say?
Shall I press the button or not, preemptively? I've got a good discover, Steve, actually.
Press the one. Press the one. I think it's worth it.
Discover Steve.
Steve Winwood, the artiste behind the masterpiece that is Higher Love.
Oh, it is a masterpiece.
He's from Birmingham.
Is he?
He's from the Midlands.
I mean...
Would you have called that?
Well, we've all got to be from somewhere.
Yeah, but I thought Steve Winwood was from LA or something.
If I was to have guessed, I would have said America.
Yeah, I'd say California. California boy.
Why specifically California?
I don't know.
You know one song of his? Because we used to play it every week.
No, he played... he's got another one called Valerie or something like that.
Oh, he does have Valerie.
I think when I first saw it, I wondered if it was Steve Winwood at the original...
Oh, the Wine House.
The Wine House Zutons
yes.
one. Different one. Also very famous, though.
Is it a different one? I assumed it was one and the same.
No, different song, different song.
Different song you say, Ryan?
Different song?
Different song.
What was your... I was going to go on a tangent about how I would never have assumed that the name Valerie would inspire two songs. It's a very dull name.
That's true. But not quite as dull as Steven. Inspired zero songs.
Yeah, there's no pop songs called Stay, is there? Do you know what? There's not one with Ryan in either, though, to be honest.
No, that's true. I'm surprised you haven't penned your own.
I have. It's a yet-to-be-released hit. I was going to say not really rhymes with Ryan, but Dying does, doesn't it? Which, you know, the theme of death and all.
Well, yeah, but again, this is one of those rhymes that only works when you say it.
Yeah, but I'm singing like you in the accent. I'm like you know Damon Albarn or early Arctic Monkeys. That's what I'm bringing a bit of.
I don't know how I feel about this. Well, also you know Brian rhymes with it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Trying.
Yeah. Although again though, you're dropping the G.
I know. Yeah, but I'm going to drop the G. I'm going to my music's unpolished. I'm a raw gem. That's what I am. I'm not like you, you know, going to academies and stuff like that. It's your Simon Cowell's X Factor. X Factor would shun me away, and that'd be my story. It'd be, Cowell didn't recognize the musical genius because he wants your overly produced shite. Whereas me, unpolished gem.
I don't like the idea of gone to academies. What kind of heckle is that? An academy is like a school that an Ofsted report said was below par. And then thought, you know what we'll do? Let's go open plan and call ourselves an academy. That's what that is.
Yeah, but you're going like the education hierarchy. I was using academy in sort of context as fame academy, you know, a la Lamar.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking, you know,
in a more I'm going to live forever kind of way.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking like a school who doesn't have to follow the curriculum.
You can hear other lessons taking place. Because the system doesn't work, it's open plan.
I didn't think that you'd have such a like a knowledge of the different educational establishments, having, you know, left the system when you were 16 years old.
Many years ago. Yeah, I mean, I don't quite know why I know either. I've never been in an academy. Just took a stab in the dark there.
I think it's right.
Yeah.
But a thought just occurred to me now. Yeah. You've now spent more of your life outside of education than you spent in it.
Yeah, but you see, now, you know, I continue to learn things, people. You know, he's suggesting here. I stopped at the age of University of Life, Ryan.
University of Life on a Viking cruise ship. Dining out on foie gras, mate. Oh, yeah. There's no way.
The school of hard knocks I've been brought up in.
This person who's got a doctorate in the University of Life cannot scramble an egg. The easiest of all the dishes.
The number of times we've recorded this at about 9 p.m. and I've eaten nothing all day.
I'm genuinely concerned about your well-being doing this.
A bit malnourished.
I like that we've addressed this on air. Yeah, I do think that you are going to be malnourished. You can't go wrong scrambling an egg. You're supposed to mess it up.
No. You see, what I've now done as of about 3 days ago, I've gone back to the powdered food.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm back to the powdered food. I've come upon a company called Abnormal. Strange name, I thought, for a company.
I don't want the food I'm eating to be called Abnormal.
So this company, they start off on the website with a survey. It probably takes about 10 minutes about everything, about how much exercise you do a week, how much sleep you get. They go into real detail.
A survey. Sorry to trample.
No.
A survey about everything doesn't take 10 minutes. That shows your... minutes of your life, it was about everything. I did, my whole life, I wanted to ask take longer than 10 minutes to get to the grips of everything of who I am.
Okay, well, I'm gonna change that and say they got a very surface level idea of who I am based on the survey.
Very brief. They asked me how much sleep do we get. Oh, okay, now,
Jesus Christ,
you want me to be normal?
I did link them to my autobiography on the website at one point.
You need to add new chapters to this autobiography.
I do desperately so. There's been many ridiculous things happen since. So yeah, I filled in about this 10-minute survey, and the reason they say they're Abnormal as a company is they then prepare very specialized powdered food just for you.
How specialized can powder be?
Well, so I was offered three flavors, and you know, this was the
bloody hell. this is niche. There's three. This is a big flavors.
It was a big old build up to this, and I was like, okay, I cannot wait to see these specialized taste notes they've got for me. It was chocolate, mm-hmm. vanilla, and strawberry.
Your Neapolitan flavors. So I for many a year,
yeah.
I refer to Neapolitan ice cream, you know, your blend of your chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry.
Yeah.
I refer to that as Metropolitan, as like the police.
Oh, really? That's weird.
Yeah.
Just incorrect, if nothing else.
Yeah, just a silly little gaffe that I spent about 15 years referring to ice cream as the Met.
You say that, though. It rarely comes up Neapolitan ice cream.
I think it should come up more than what it does.
What? No, it's the most disappointing. I mean, imagine how I felt when I got those three flavours presented to me at the end of the survey.
No, because, but the Neapolitan ice cream, you can blend all the three. It's great.
Yeah, but I'd rather get like a cookie dough, salted caramel.
Yeah.
You don't get that from your straub.
No, I take your point. I'd rather your pistachios if I'm taking you.
Now we're talking.
If I'm picking from the whole spectrum of your ice cream flavors, I'm going pistachio or something like that. You know what? I actually don't mind. This is you're gonna scoff at this. I don't mind the rum and raisin.
No. I mean, I'm kind of on board with the rum and raisin. But I know you almost favour a Viennetta, which is ghastly.
I just like that ice cream can come served in cardboard.
Oh, you and a chalk ice have a field day.
I just think it's so obscure, like packaging for an ice cream. I admire the lack of effort.
Cardboard shouldn't hold an almost liquid.
Yeah, it's the danger. It's like, God, if this isn't frozen,
if I don't get home quick enough with this Neapolitan ice cream,
the whole bag's ruined. But you know what? Better for the environment.
No, that's true.
Greta Thunberg will give her seal of approval to a Viennetta.
As she's scooping away with a little hand.
Oh, Greta will love a Viennetta.
Oh, Greta's Viennetta. And then... Oh.
Greta's Viennetta. Oh, see, if Viennetta have got the whole budget of 2021 has got to be getting Thunberg on board as an ambassador.
No, I think Greta insists that she has it melted as a statement.
No, on the boat traveling from Sweden to America.
Yeah,
and you're thinking, oh, what's she gonna have for dessert? That's the advert. What can we have? Viennetta. How about Viennetta? Of course. Greta's Viennetta.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're onto something here.
Yeah, the ice cream of the future.
Oh, wait, no, I don't think we're onto something that big.
No, that could be the slogan. That's what Greta could say at the end.
Yeah, but why would she say that?
Because it's saved in cardboard, which is... better
gonna
the
save the future, I suppose. Yeah, no, I can see.
Yeah, because the other thing, like your walls and that served in a plastic tub.
The tub, yeah. Not even recyclable, that tub.
Yeah, so, but your Viennetta.
Yeah, can we stop singing the praises of the Viennetta ice cream, Ryan?
Greta's Viennetta, next subject.
So, my Discover Steve, I don't know whether we should do this early doors, but it seems appropriate because it's food-based.
Not to take you away from the Discover Steve.
Okay.
But you didn't finish your powder's food story.
Oh. I don't know if I had much more to say about it, really. Essentially...
No, but...
So, yeah, about 2-3 days ago, I've made the transition into powdered food stuffs.
So, what have you ate today? So we're recording this at 7 p.m.
Yeah. So today I've had a strawberry lace. You know,
a single lace.
A single lace. But it was like one of those thicker laces. You know,
Gaithy boys.
Imagine like it's on a Timberland boot kind of lace. We're not talking dress shoe.
It's not going to get frayed if it meets a puddle. That sort of lace. The sort of lace that can withstand a heavy puddle.
So, yeah, I've had a strawberry lace, I've had two black coffees, and I've had a vanilla-flavoured shake.
And how is the shakes?
Well, they claim it has all my daily nutrition I need, and I'm supposed to have three of them, but... You know, all the nutrition's I bet you're not getting half the supplements I am.
Oh, I am getting the supplements.
You're not getting your vitamin D.
I'm getting my vitamin D.
Absolutely not. I'm getting it in the extreme because of that shake.
No, you're getting too intense a dose of vitamin D.
No.
I'm getting too, like...
Perfectly proportioned to my my sleep pattern.
From that 7 minute survey. I bet you'd have I done the survey and answered the total opposite end of the spectrum to the question as you. The results would be chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. Tailored to you.
Yeah, there's absolutely no way that after that I happened to get the three most common flavors.
Yeah.
Absolutely no way.
Yeah, unless you're just the most basic person ever.
Yeah, how many hours sleep? Yeah, just... About six. So anyway, so that's what I've transitioned to. I think it's a good way forward. Also, you know, good to lose the quarantine poundage.
It is, but I just think that you need to make the movement into actually getting other food products when you're on your own.
Have I mentioned the straw?
Yeah, but good. Well, at least get yourself like a banana or something like that. Or your ready meals. You can cook your ready meals.
The problem with the banana, you know, it's an open goal for a gag in this house, isn't it?
Yeah, but that wasn't going to be my thinking. But what if you just have the banana, you know, on your own? You're not gonna then make a lewd Julian Clary gag, then, are you?
No, I absolutely will.
Fair enough. Stick with the powder shakes then.
Also, I think there's something just incredibly tragic about the solo eating of a banana.
Not
that like a shared banana, you know. No, I don't want to share the experience. I'm just saying, you know, if you would appear
Lady in the Tramp with a banana one.
No, I'm saying, let's say you were to wander by somebody's house and you look through the window.
Yeah.
And you see them on the couch there eating a banana. I think that's really sad and tragic.
What's the situation when a banana wouldn't be tragic?
You know what? Probably as part of a Neapolitan ice cream.
Yeah, but if you look into someone's house and they're just sort of, you know, shaking up a protein shake on the couch, sort of sitting there low, like you'd say that was tragic, and everything in that situation's tragic.
I don't think so, because you go, oh, they take care of themselves. That's what you think.
But you do have a banana, but I get one of the five a day.
No. Anyway, so my discovery is also our food. I'm veering away from the powdered stuff. This is real food, Ryan. So,
okay.
Discovery. Are we going to do a discovery at the end of the show now? Because we've kind of done it. We'll talk about that in a minute.
But I've got a better discovery.
Oh, you're talking about discovery. So the McDonald's McChicken Nugget, which I'm sure you're well aware of, they come in four different shapes. So I just thought they were random offcuts of chicken, but no, actual shapes.
Oh, I actually didn't know that.
Well, there you go. But you know what, though? Go on, tell me.
Do you know the shapes?
I will bring the shapes up, but do you not find that even more concerning that they're like, they're cut out? Using a little, like, cookie dough mold or something.
There's a chicken nugget stencil.
Yeah? Do you not think that's just really gross?
Oh, yeah. But I don't remember the last time I ate a nugget.
Oh, really?
I've not had a nugget of any kind for about 10 years.
What about your nougat?
What about what?
A nougat.
Oh, I've indulged in nougat multiple times. nougat is... there's nougat in Mars bars, isn't there?
No, is there?
Yeah, I thought that was the sort of the soft bit, the soft chewy bit was nougat.
Well, I only know the nougat from the pink confectionery item of the same name, really.
No, I think nougat can come in many
different forms. Well, I brought up the different pictures, and we have this. I'm showing Ryan on camera right now.
Oh, it's all B words: a bone, a boost, a ball, and a bell.
If you're gonna
with the boot shape.
Well, if you're gonna make shapes, though, why would you call them bone and ball? You're gonna be more adventurous than that, wouldn't you?
And also, it looks nothing like a bone.
No, I know. They're all just
what
very
is the bone shape?
They're very ambiguously shaped. It has here as well that they McDonald's. Oh no, YouGov had a survey. Nicely, that's how they're spending all money. About the fan favorite chicken McNugget shapes.
If I must pick, I'd probably say the boot. The boot's the one I'm most familiar with.
Well, the boot, it's very Monopoly, isn't it? So I think that's probably why.
I think if I was gonna have the boot as well, I'd sort of eat the sticky out part first, and it'd allow me to sort of give a bit of structure to my nugget eating, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. But the sticky out part, describing it like that, seems like it's a bit of a chicken growth.
Yeah, I eat the chicken tumor first. Thankfully, it's benign.
And then throw away the rest. So, according to the government survey, the boot is the nation's favorite. I mean, we are a nation of idiots at 36%.
You've just called me an idiot by that, because the boot is my favorite.
The bone is 22%. The bell, 13%. And the ball, 7.
Oh, I wonder why the ball's so out of favour.
I mean, probably because it's a bit lewd, isn't it?
I'd say the bone's more lewd, the bone's more...
I mean, so's the bell.
I know, yeah, it's all very dirty.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Ronald McDonald, the big creep. No, what he was up to, he couldn't think of another one. I was like, oh, the boot. Yeah, this last one was like especially dirty. It was like the ball bag or something like that. And the last one, the shaft. No, Ronald. This is going out worldwide, man.
So look, I wanted to talk to you about shit particles. It's been playing on my mind.
Go on.
Well, you'll be well aware of this, but you know when you flush the toilet after doing the business?
Oh, yes. I'm aware of the flush.
Thousands, millions of the particles then expel out into the ether.
Mm-hmm.
And they contaminate everything within the vicinity, notably the toothbrush.
Oh.
Yes. The toothbrush is a hotbed for the shit particles because they lodge in between the bristles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, this is vile.
Well, anyways, the reason I'm mentioning it to you is I've just spent £30 on a UV toothbrush sterilizer. And I don't know if I've essentially just bought some snake oil here. A blue light is what I've bought.
So it's a sterilizer.
So what it is, it attaches to your mirror with some suckies, and then
is suckies the technical term?
I don't know what else, but probably suction cups, isn't it?
Suction cups. Yeah. You abbreviated the suction cups like they're a pal, old sucky.
So I'm going to use my fingers to demonstrate this.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect for the audio medium. So imagine this is a little... Imagine like a sunglasses case is probably a good way of describing it.
Yeah.
And it has some holes in the bottom in which you can pop up the toothbrush, you turn it to the side, and now the bristles are using the ledge of the cutout to keep themselves propped up.
Yeah.
And then you flick a little switch and on comes the blue light. It emanates out and that's where you store your toothbrushes to keep them sterilized.
Oh, so yeah. It's basically, it's more a shit particle blocker rather than a sterilizer.
Probably. I do think, you know, it's a total placebo, that sterilizer. Oh, yeah.
Because a sterilizer would indicate that it was some sort of cleaning product. So, like, it would do away with the existing shit particles.
Well, yeah, because the UV is not the nature of that ray supposed to kill it off.
Oh, I thought the UV just sort of, it revealed. I didn't think the UV was any sort of, you know, antibacterial, hygienic.
No, I think it's a killer.
Oh, I thought UV was just like, you know, like Dexter when he goes to like a murder scene and he put the UV and see blood on the wall.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. But is that not just a normal black light? Is that a real thing? If I was to get a black light, would semen appear all over the place?
Depends what you've been up to. It's everywhere. And you turn the light off. Oh, it's just everywhere. I can see it with the naked eye. But yeah. So I didn't think a UV light though would sort of. It's not. Why would it clean?
Because
I mean, you've definitely been scammed. Like,
do you think?
Without a doubt, it's without a doubt, it's a insane buy. No. You're buying that, and you won't go to the shops and buy a bloody microwavable curry instead. Buy a microwavable chicken chasseur.
No. I think the big difference really is that I saw the graphic of, you know, the way on these adverts where people touch things and it leaves like a green glow behind.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, this trailer was like someone flushed the toilet and lots of those green particles came out. They made a beeline, for the toothbrushes.
I mean, like, without a doubt, it is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
The shit particles are just everywhere. We are constantly breathing in shit particles. It's part of our everyday existence.
Well, I mean, it depends. Maybe you are.
Everyone is.
It depends how much fibers in your diet, I guess.
No, because but, if you've done it once, then like, unless you wear, I'm gonna start wearing my face mask to the toilet when I flush.
You know what you should? Well, the real thing you should do is close the lid when you flush.
I suppose that's absolutely what.
That's a much better solution.
See, sometimes I've only ever used the lid for the flush. It's often as a night when I don't want to wake up other people in the house. It's like it's a noise suppression tool.
Oh, like a silencer?
like a silencer on a gun, yeah. That's the only time I ever used the toilet lid, really, for that reason.
You're taking a pillow and like pushing it over the top of the opening.
Yeah, that's what I didn't realize. Yeah, because I was thinking of, yeah, I might start getting some cling film and like wrapping cling film.
Oh, that's mental. Next, you're going to be getting a small mask just for the toothbrush.
No, in future, going forward, I'm absolutely going to adopt this into my routine. I'm going to close the lid before the flush.
Yeah. Do you ever have multiple flushes, as in like mid-act you flush?
So like the business, the deed's not quite finished, but you're thinking,
not finished.
This is going to cause damage to the drains.
No. Not for the purposes of a cloggage, although, you know, there are multiple benefits. But more, sometimes I'll be sat there thinking, this is such an awful smell that to finish the job, I feel like I might faint before it's done.
Yeah, that's because you've only been drinking powdered drinks all day.
So I kind of clear the system. So like you're starting from a blank page, fresh slate. New slate? What's the phrase?
I think it's a fresh, yeah. No, a blank canvas is right, isn't it?
Oh, a blank canvas sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. I didn't think the flush, though, doesn't really do away with the smell, in my opinion.
Well,
it does. The particles that are still around.
Now I know about the particles, it does change things somewhat.
A mid flush, in my opinion, is only to spare the drain pipe. It's only sort of because it needs to be done in phases. I absolutely have adopted that at certain times. But you sort of have to, like, do you remain seated during the flush?
I remain seated and, like, hold on for dear life as it happens.
Because I would sort of stand to not get some sort of,
you can't stand mid-act, though.
I stand. Is that bad?
You stand with it. Why are you standing? That seems absolutely mental to stand halfway through.
Because if you're sitting and then you mid flush, you get lots of like bounce back onto the butt cheeks.
No. I mean, I do see your reasoning for that, but you're not mid flushing. So what's your reasoning for standing?
No, but if I am, only if I'm mid-flush, that's when I do the stand.
Oh,
I don't just stand up to make a speech in the middle of it.
Order! Order!
I embrace me inner John Burke. Oh, John, every time I go
waxing
to sleep.
Lyrical about something halfway through.
it's like I've hit the chorus of a Westlife song and I just stand off my stool. No, Jordan, if it was on a normal day, 99 times out of 100,
yeah,
I remain seated the whole time, of course. But if you're mid flushing, I don't want to. It's like you're doing a bit. It's like a bidet with unclean water.
So I
avoid the water with a stand. Is that mad?
Well, more often than not, I immediately followed up with a shower.
So you just embrace the dirty water.
Well, not that I'm encouraging it, but I'm just I'm just putting it out there that
you bask in the dirty water.
I'm just saying, to any listeners, that ultimately I do end up incredibly clean. I feel like too often on this show, I've got to justify how clean I am because of my technique. The number of times I've been just...
You spend the majority of this podcast on the back foot. Defending the fact that you're not a dirty bastard. I've got a UV sterilizer, for God's sake. Do you not, now that we've sort of discovered, on air about, another practical reason for the lid?
Yeah.
Do you not now regret the UV sterilizer purchase?
No, because I think those particles are coming. And I think they
out to the lid.
They find the because the seat has something. It has a buffer, doesn't it? Like little props that keep it aloft a little bit. And I reckon that's where they'll work the way out.
Oh, potentially. I thought the lid sort of enclosed it.
Flash.
It was like a...
Oh, that wasn't a pun.
It was a pun. Absolutely was. Who are we kidding?
I feel like we should end the show there.
And ends it with a toilet flush. That's what we should, that should be our outro.
We do talk about it often enough that we probably should have a specific jingle for it.
Like a soundtrack effect as we finish. Give us a 5-star review and then it's a metaphorical, it's a symbol for what just happened. A big load of shit. Needs to end with a flush.
It's going to clog the pipes, this one.
It needs a mid-flush. Got to stand again to get out of the way of that bad boy. They said Greta's Viennetta. Whoa, flush. It's an onslaught.
So I've set up a new website, Ryan.
Oh, is this going to be another shameless plug?
It's another plug for my Zoom magic shows. Remotemagician.co.uk. Have I mentioned these on the show?
No, I don't think you have.
Oh, okay. So Zoom magic shows available for your friends and family or employees, if there's any business owners listening to this. But I needed to put together a little trailer for the show. Mm-hmm. And, normally in a show you do a magic trick and people react. But it was kind of a double-edged sword because to do the shows, I needed the trailer. But to get the footage for the trailer, I needed to do the shows. You see what my problem was?
What comes first? The old philosophical question, the chicken or the egg, the magic or the reaction vid? The modern philosophical question of our times.
So I thought to myself, what can I do to get some reactions, from people? I thought, I've got an absolutely brilliant idea. The website Chat Roulette. Now, based on your reaction, I assume you're familiar with the website.
I am very familiar with the website Chat Roulette. I'm not familiar because I'm a frequenter of it. I have just, through hearsay, I have became aware of what Chat Roulette is more commonly used for.
Well, I didn't know much about it, really. I just knew the concept of the website. And I was like, okay, so the concept is this. Random people, on with the video on, and then you connect with random people and I can show them a trick. And I was like, this is absolutely perfect, because in the space of 20 minutes, I can get tons of reactions. I'll have the video done by tonight.
What a wholesome adventure that would be. No, you'll go on chat roulette. There's people on there just wanting a video chat with just random strangers.
Yeah, they just want to engage with people. Bit of small talk.
They happen upon a magician. A magician shows them a trick.
I was going to make their night. This.
Oh, the videos. It'd be spontaneous. It'd be authentic joy. What an advert! I can see the thing.
You can see my reasoning. Anyway,
I can.
Yeah. It turns out the internet is a filthy place.
And chat roulette is frequented by the deviant.
So you've got to imagine, I'm giddy with this idea of showing people my little magic tricks. And to try to capture people's attention, I'm there with a big smile. I'm right here, and there with a big smile, holding a pack of cards aloft. Thinking people are going to see a young guy with a pack of cards and go, oh, what's this? And it was person after person doing obscene things with themselves, Ryan. They were on there for lewd reasons. Here I am, wanting to show them a card trick.
If anything, it's going to add more fuel to the fire, because it'll indulge the deviants even more. Oh, that is brilliant.
And so I must have spent probably 10 minutes getting more and more depressed as time went on. I just wanted to show someone a magic trick.
And all they wanted to do was to show them.
Yeah, so that plan didn't work.
So how many,
Ballpark figure.
How many people do you reckon you saw, and how many were doing the deed?
I reckon I probably saw, just clicking through, skip, 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 probably about 55 people, I reckon.
And how many penises were visible?
Probably about 47.
47 out of 55. That is a hell of a ratio.
It was just skip, skip, skip. And I couldn't quite be as giddy about the whole idea anymore.
Do the people who own chat roulette, are they aware of what their site is now used for? Don't they add like some sort
it
of...
It says at the top that kind of thing isn't allowed and you'll get banned. Clearly, people are getting away with it.
The deviant, though, is just going to get off on that even more, aren't they? They'll say, like, you're not allowed to use it. Like, don't masturbate on camera. And they're like, fucking, you know what I'm going to do? No one's going to get me off. Hopefully some poor fool shows up trying to do a magic trick.
But the problem is now, anyone I've told about this since, and I've ramped into the story by going, so, I had a great idea. I went to chat roulette. Everybody has the same reaction.
Everyone, yeah, that's the thing. I don't know how you weren't aware that chat roulette is now just often used for this.
Well, it hasn't been mentioned in years. It was a big thing at the time, I remember. But
yeah, but people are really, really sticking with it. the loyal, it's their favourite pastime. He's done it once. Like, I'm never going to stop doing this as long as this website's available.
So yeah, that was a dud. And in the end, what I decided to do was I thought, I'm just going to have to go round videoing friends, faking reactions over Zoom. I'm going to have to ask friends for fake reactions. And it was really quite crushing, because normally I only get those kind of fake reactions from my sexual partners, but to have it from everybody else.
So that is why if one does look at the remotemagician.co.uk advert, you might see a familiar face.
Yes.
Like, see my acting skills.
Mr. Ryan Patton makes an appearance, as does Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, do you know what? Josh got a line as well. You left Josh's audio and my audio got cut.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the reason for that, Ryan, I thought with the sound on, it sounded a little bit hammy. With the sound off, your expression alone sold it. Expression alone sold it.
You sound like I'd be one of those like silent film actors who went with the movement to the talkies. I'd be rendered obsolete and kicked to the curb. I can't believe that.
But nevertheless,
I'm so happy with my performance.
No, you made the cut, though. I mean, don't feel dismayed now that I've said that.
Oh, I mean, I don't know where I stand now, because at the time you were giving me loads of positive feedback.
You're like, yeah,
best year,
best year.
That's what you said.
Best
year. That's what you said. Go Tiger. Give it more. I want more. You can do this.
If anything, maybe my dad.
Take your penis out. I want to do chat roulette. Let's call it chat roulette. Let's do it.
I mean, at least that part of it worked.
Yeah, that didn't make the cut.
Yeah, people can get the director's cut for on the Patreon.
yeah, there's a lot of our Patreon. Yeah, you can see all the people, the Deviant, Stephen, and Counted on chat roulette on our Patreon. And Stephen's dismayed face as he sighs and
slowly
puts down
the pack
the
of
jack
cards.
Of hearts.
Oh, but I'll tell you what was more crushing about it. On those very few occasions when it wasn't a creepy old guy doing it, people would then turn my video off and they'd skip to the next person.
Oh, because they're wanting to look. It's all about what people want to see or do. And you're in the middle of this deviant Venn diagram with trying to do a card trick. I do think that if we did do a chat roulette feature where we just happened to go onto chat roulette and took bets for how long before until we saw someone, you know, in the act. I think that could really spice up the podcast.
No, I do think it's a good idea. We we'd have to do that in person logistically, but the other thing would be that I think we'd have to take bets on how many people we'd see before someone isn't doing that.
Yeah, that's probably true. We'll workshop it. Maybe we'll incorporate it into the episode. Bit of video content. Violate all YouTube's terms and conditions.
Well, Ryan, look, normally we go into a feature at this point, and I don't know where this now leaves us, sans Paul.
Oh yeah, I mean there is a feature. I
have you prepared
I
a feature?
Constructed a feature.
Oh,
I prepared a feature for the abandoned episodes, but you know that's still. I imagine it gives you a chance to get some point if you want to do it still.
Oh, I mean, this sounds good. I mean, because yeah, the plan I was going to make you sing Higher Love.
we can't do the feature for the prepared episode.
You know what? Yeah, let's try that then. Shall we just play, probably not Attention Bed because we've gone rogue. Should we just play another one?
Oh, yeah, just go for it.
Oh, okay,
play wherever.
Yeah, here we go. Oh, do you want to introduce the feature fast?
Yeah, so this feature is all about... I had a ramp into it that was relevant to what I was doing over the past week.
Right.
But I've now forgotten when that was. So this feature, it's all about the Federal Bureau of Investigations.
Ooh, so something a little mysterious.
Oh yeah, it's about crimes, you know, true crime.
Okay,
it's heavy stuff.
I know Christy loves true crime, so she'll love this one.
Oh, brace yourself then, strap yourself in, because this feature is all about the FBI in a feature I like to call FBI.
Very, very good, very good. Paul would have scoffed if he was on, but I'm going to say that was good.
Oh, you were the scoffer. I feed off his scoffs.
God, you like those people on chat roulette?
The podcast is going to take a turn.
Okay, should we go for it?
So I'm gonna, yeah, let's go for it.
Oh, do you want? I interjected there. You were gonna give a little preamble.
I'm gonna ask you three questions about the FBI.
Yep.
And you know, and there may be a bonus round, and you're playing. I don't even know how we're gonna do it because, are you just guaranteed the point? If you get one of these right, are you guaranteed the point?
Yes, I think that's it.
Well,
okay. Well, shall we set a minimum then? I need to get
two out of three.
Okay, yeah, let's do that then.
Yeah, and maybe you can salvage then in a bonus round.
Okay, okay.
So here we go with FB Rye.
Oh, I actually think it's quite appropriate, this one.
I like it. It's like I'm snooping.
Yo, oh yeah. Something you are very used to doing.
Okay, so here we go with round one. Which famous Hollywood figure was once an informant for the FBI?
Paul.
Was it A? Was it A, Walt Disney?
Okay.
Was it B, Alfred Hitchcock? Or was it C, Marilyn Monroe?
Oh, I... With some confidence, I think I'm going to say Marilyn Monroe. Just to bit take back what I said previously, you do know that was a Paul Hollywood gag there, not a producer Paul.
No, I thought I didn't get that.
I thought it was a little bit more clever if you know it's Paul Hollywood as opposed to just shouting out Paul randomly.
I thought your thing was as though, you know, you normally trample my questioning by just talking to Paul throughout.
Oh, so
I thought that
see.
Was you doing
see,
that.
See, a little
I
bit.
Didn't re- I didn't recognize that you were going, which famous Paul Hollywood figure
was
an informant. Yes, right, that was the gag.
Yeah,
the
here we go.
We're cooking.
We've burnt the dish.
It's like my pasta salad in year seven. So you're going with confidence, Marilyn Monroe?
With confidence, yeah, Marilyn Monroe.
Based on my sources, which was an article about 72 fun facts about the FBI, I can confirm that is incorrect.
Oh, no!
It was Walt Disney.
Walt wasn't an informant.
Walt Disney was an informant for the FBI?
No. Marilyn Monroe sounds like the perfect informant. I'd hire her.
Yeah, but no, because she was sort of, you know, in deep with the...
No, I
with,
know.
With the Kennedys and such, wasn't she? So it does make sense that why you thought that.
Yeah.
She may have been also, but in, you know, based on the fun fact article I read, it was Walt Disney.
Oh, you know what? This is going to be a feature with just me competing, and I'm not going to get a point on the leaderboard.
shall we move on to round two and
Let's
see?
Let's do round two.
Okay. Here we go with round two. Which famous comedy character caught the attention of the FBI in the noughties?
Okay.
Was it A, David Brent? Was it B, Borat? Or was it C, Alan Partridge?
Okay, surely... Surely it has to be Borat, and he would have been up to all sorts, I'm guessing. Would have infiltrated enemy lines, I'm thinking, and that's why this is aiming him. So I'm going to say Borat.
You've got a point on the board. You've got a point in the game. You've not got a point on the board yet, but you're moving closer. It was
edging,
Borat.
Edging toward.
Yeah, during the film, when you were making the first film,
yes.
You apparently cut the FBI sort of investigated them.
Oh, really? Okay. I think Lynn was probably an informant for the FBI as well.
She's wearing a wire on Partridge. Okay, so you got 1 point.
1 point.
Ready for round three?
Ready.
Okay. Here we go. The FBI took a particular disliking and wanted to censor which iconic American film? Was it A, It's a Wonderful Life?
Okay.
Was it B, Singing in the Rain? Or was it C, The Wizard of Oz?
Ooh. Oh, this is good. I've got genuinely no idea. So, It's a Wonderful Life. I can't see what they'd have a problem with there. The second one was Singing in the Rain?
Yes.
Yeah, equally. They both seem very wholesome. I don't know. I'm veering toward the Wizard of Oz just because of there's a bit of darkness in that, isn't there, with the flying monkeys and such. And maybe the enemies would have got a bit of an idea from those monkeys. So I'm going to say...
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to say the Wizard of Oz.
Are you locking that in?
I'm going to lock at him.
In this feature, Stephen, when you've played on your own,
yeah,
you have failed to get a point on the board. That's incorrect.
Oh, I'm sick of this. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it was actually It's a Wonderful Life. Apparently, J. Edgar Hoover thought that it had sort of communist sympathies. There's the whole storyline about the banks and stuff, isn't there? The banks like sort of being horrible to the people.
Yeah.
I forgot the film, but the banks are doing something bad.
Okay.
And I think J. Edgar Hoover thought that was like anti-capitalist.
Oh.
Yeah, so they wanted to censor that.
Okay, can I potentially scrape this back in a bonus round?
Well, there is a bonus round, and as always in the bonus round, you are playing for the whole marbles. The whole shebang is available.
Okay, well, should we try the bonus round?
Well, no, what? But
see, normally it's closest to, which I've just realised isn't going to work.
I'm going to read the question and I'll explain the criteria that we could maybe use to generate whether you get this right or not.
Okay, then. So is this now? Are you now delivering the question to me?
I'm now delivering the question.
Okay.
I am the postman delivering.
Okay. Is it a jaunty question?
You can figure that out. How many people have been on the FBI's most wanted list? We're dealing with the most dangerous criminals of all time here, so what have we got as the soundtrack?
Okay, so how many people are currently on it?
Just all time, cumulative, okay. Like, sort of. Yeah, you've got to be really, really... done to be on the most wanted list, you know.
Okay, and is the FBI?
I was gonna say creme de la creme, but that's the wrong word to use in when talking about criminals. It's like the worst criminals.
Okay, I'm gonna say,
but how are we gonna sort of judge this? Should I say like a ballpark figure? And then ask you whether you think it's higher or lower.
No, okay. I think I should be within a certain range, but I was going to say within, you know, the thousands, but maybe that's mental.
Yeah, there hasn't been thousands of people on it.
Okay, so within the tens. Maybe 50 you know range
what?
Then?
Do you know what? If you're within 100...
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So... I've got between 1 and 900 to choose here. A pretty good scope. I'm gonna say 400.
You've got the point.
Yes.
I should really ramp up the tension a bit more, but I'm so shocked because I thought your answer would be shit and it's not. I'm so shocked that you've not given a tremendously shit answer.
Yeah, but initially I was going to say 7,500.
No, so the FBI, there's apparently cumulative. I thought there was going to be a lot more. This was on this fun fact list, and I didn't think it was very fun.
So in the history of the FBI, cumulatively, there's been how many?
Apparently 494 people on the most wanted list of all time. Maybe wasn't the most reputable website. But
do you know what though? I nearly missed the point.
You did. There was a lot of tension rising on that. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's so 494 people of all time, and they've caught 465 of them.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it's like a chat roulette wanking percentage rate, that isn't it? Yeah, wow. You probably went on 494 chat roulette profiles. Probably 465 of them would be wanking.
Oh, yeah, well, so, I tell you, I am absolutely thrilled to be getting a point. So much so, I'm putting it on right now. Really, I shouldn't be that thrilled considering I'm the only one competing, but...
Yeah, in a game of one, you won. And that brings
just
an
about.
End to and that brings an end to FB Rye.
Okay, excellent. Wow. I'm very, very pleased.
I'm pleased to got to use the questions.
Yeah. Okay, well, Ryan, we've done on Discover Steve.
Are we keeping Discover Steve as mine being Steve Winwood's from Birmingham?
Well, I don't have another one, but do you want to end the show on whatever your better
one? I've got a decent one, okay. And it's relevant. It's relevant to one of your tricks as well.
Oh, okay then. Well,
if you still do it, I'm going early Stephen Williams tricks here. I'm going Sparks days with this trick.
Okay, well let's see.
Because
hold on.
Discover Steve.
Because. One of your tricks that you used to do, do you remember your Rubik's Cube trick?
Yes.
Yeah, so what was the Rubik's Cube trick again? Just
well, I've got a bit of an updated version of it, which I can show you now.
Oh, God, this is excellent.
I don't know if this was the same trick, so you can describe what's happening to the listeners.
Oh, okay, well, just give me a second because, you know, I've also got to find me... This I screenshotted this from like a week ago, so you know.
Martin.
This been
how many pictures have you got in there?
I've got it.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay. So describe what's happening to the listeners.
Okay. So I'm looking at a Rubik's cube that is unsolved. There's
unsolved.
Doing this hand modeling sort of thing by doing lots of sensual move. Oh. And he just tapped the whole thing and it's turned. Oh, that was actually excellent, that.
Oh, thanks, Ryan.
I didn't expect that. I got a little bit of a thrill. This might turn into a chat roulette after all. I can see what those fellas... I can see the appeal. That could be your niche, Zoom, you know, chat roulette. You know, get your thrill and, you know...
I mean, you know, anything for the money at this point.
Yeah, the cruise ships aren't sailing anytime soon. But my Discover Steve, it is in relation to the Rubik's Cube. It was originally designed to solve the structural problem of how could the blocks move independently without falling apart. And it wasn't until the designer, Erno Rubik, couldn't reset his cube that the idea of the puzzle was conceived.
Oh, that's quite good.
Yeah. So it was designed for a structural problem, like for architecture. And then he realised, it was like, oh, can't redo this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That was quite a good fact, that.
Erno Rubik. Yeah. I didn't know the fellow who invented the Rubik. I didn't know Rubik was a person.
I didn't know that. I thought it was kind of like just a Hasbro design. They came up with the name for some reason.
So did I.
Yeah, yeah.
So did I.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my actual Discover Steve rather than, you know, in addition to Steve Winwood's from Birmingham.
Right, so now do you want to sing us out?
I'm not singing. When did I agree to sing out?
I don't know. I just assumed the kind of moment is going to take you.
You assumed?
I assumed. I'll do the melody to undercut it for you.
I don't even know what the words are. Bring me a higher love.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Right, good to
see you next week.
See you next week.
As always.
Leave Dodging Death a 5-star review on iTunes.